and welcome to Jason Waller Unleashed, and I have the episode for you of a lifetime. It is Ed Mylett, such a great mentor. He's a great life coach to people out there. He's one of the best speakers I've ever seen, and it's The Power of One More. Stay tuned.
I'm a big fan. I've watched him be on a couple podcasts. We share some mutual friends, but this guy brings positive energy. This guy's next level. He's built companies. He's an author. He's a badass. Ed Mylett, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I wish I was as good as that intro, but I'm fired up to be with you today. So thank you. I'll take it all.
Hey, I try to do a big intro. You know, we were going to be on 2-Minute Drill together and you got COVID. Do you remember that story when you got it?
I do. I've had it three times. So you can pick one of the three, but I remember that one for sure. And I'm under the hopes that I don't get it again because a friend of mine yesterday just got it for the fourth time.
I've had it three times too. People don't ever believe me. I'm like, guys, like it happens.
I'm really glad to hear that because nobody believes me either. When he told me four, I'm like, crap, maybe I should get it one more time just to have the record. But
there you go. Like I believe it's just going to evolve. We're going to have it all the time. But you know, that's my opinion.
I kind of agree with you. Live with it.
Hey, so listen, for the listeners out there, I'm sure everybody knows who you are. You're big time. You've done some great things. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you growing up and what you're doing now. Like in your early days, you know, you were a baseball player. I didn't know that about you. They sent me this information. I said, this guy led stolen bases?
Yeah, I was a baseball player. I'm an average guy, though. I mean, the truth is, I was a really good baseball player, but not the best. I played with guys that ended up being in the big leagues. They were just better than me. I had a career that an injury that ended my career. You know, a little bit prematurely, but baseball was the one place, brother, where I could like stand out. I grew up son of an alcoholic. That's the major part of my story. It's why I wrote the book that I have coming out. And I always struggle with my self-confidence, always, even as an adult. The reason I'm actually in the personal development space is probably just because I had to learn all these tools just to become baseline functioning person. But the one place that I felt at home where I had some talent was playing baseball. And so when that was over, that was a dream crush because I always thought I was going to play in the big leagues.
Yeah, it's like an identity issue. You know, you if that's what you're stuck doing and you think that's the only thing you're great at, it's hard to pivot and figure that out. And I think a lot of people listening, entrepreneurs out there, people in sales, people building any kind of thing that they're involved in, they all have some of those experiences where they feel less than, or they feel like they're not the true leader and overcoming some of that adversity. I remember I didn't go to finish high school or college and running a company early. I was intimidated by people with college degrees. I felt they were smarter than me. It made my confidence really low. It took me time to learn to be a more confident leader. You had some of those transitions as well, right?
Huge. You say it perfectly. You know, the second chapter of the book, The Power of One More, is about identity. And I talk about what your identity isn't. I made the mistake, like a lot of people do, my identity was linked to what I did or what I achieved. If it's contingent on that, you're setting yourself up for a big bunch of failure instead of who you are. And this self-confidence thing, the truth is, it's an internal game. I give like a bunch of tips in the book on self-confidence, but one of them is you got to keep the promises you make to yourself. That's baseline. Self-confidence is a reputation with oneself. And if you don't have confidence because you don't have a good reputation with you, it's nobody else's fault. We have to accept that. Baseball was the one place where I could keep promises that I made. And then as I got older, I'm like, how do I shift this? Because I don't naturally have any self-confidence. I wasn't raised feeling great about myself. And that's where I came up with the power of one more. What if not only did I keep the promises I made to myself, but I always did one more? I'm going to make 10 contacts today. Now I make one more. I'm going to tell my daughter I love her today. Nope, I'm going to do it one more. I'm going to go to the gym and do a set of 10. Nope, I'm doing one more. I'm doing 30 minutes on the treadmill. Nope, I'm doing one more. And you start stacking up these one mores in your life, you become a different human being over time. And by the way, a lot shorter period of time than you think. One other thing I would add is the premise of the book and my life, and the only reason I wrote it is my dad died, is this. You are much closer, and you've proven this. You are the transitions you've made. You are much closer to your dream than you think you are. And because you think it's far away, you have a depth perception issue, not a vision issue, it's depth perception. You think it's so far away, you behave like it, and you don't see the things around you. Here's the truth. You're one decision away from a different life, one relationship, one meeting, one thought, one podcast, one emotion, one book away from a different life. Last thing I'll tell you, it was proven this weekend. I played golf with this guy. A friend of mine says, this guy's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You guys have similar net worths. I want you to meet him. I meet the guy, and I've had a series of one mores in my life that have led to whatever success I've had. I said, tell me your story. It's on the first tee box. He goes, 1986, I loaned a guy 50 grand. So did my best friend. A week later, my friend asked for the money back. I didn't. I kept the loan to the guy. Turned into 700 million. I went, what did you just say? He goes, I loaned the guy 50 grand. It turned into 700 million. I said, who's this guy? Jeff Bezos.
Wow.
I said, you got to be kidding me. He was one meeting, one relationship, one decision away. He completely changed his life. That's a dramatic example. Mine are smaller, but there's stacks of them that have changed my life.
No, that's exactly right. You know, I try to tell people, the problem is when people are trying to get their goals, they have these dream goals and they look up at the top of the building and that's where I want to be. I want to build a $1 billion business, right? Well, let's get to a $1 million business first, or how about $100,000 business? So I say, take the stairs. And it's kind of what you're talking about. The depth is folks get, they feel less than, or they feel like they can't accomplish anything. They feel defeated because they can't get there fast enough. You know, in today's world where you're getting all this information on the phone and, you know, it's just blasted at you, you want instant results, that a lot of people, they'll look up and it just seems like, oh, I'm never going to get there. They get discouraged and they walk away from
it. Yeah, I keep going back to my book because obviously that's one of the things.
Well, no, I want to talk about your book. Everybody's got to get this book because I know I'm going to get it. Sounds great.
Like, you're feeding it to me perfectly because what you just said is one of the other major premises is in the book. I have to just say, I have a chapter in the book called Busting Open the Pinata. It's the magic of compound pounding, which is what you're saying. You're making invisible progress most of the time, but you don't know it. And so it occurred to me, I'm at this 5-year-old's birthday party. They're hitting this pinata, the kids. First kid pounds the pinata, no candy comes out. Second kid hits it, no candy comes out. Third kid, no candy comes out. Now some of the kids are starting to quit and get disinterested. About the sixth kid gets up, hits it one time, bam, all the candy comes out, everybody celebrates. That's how life is. You're making invisible progress. They were breaking down. The last hit didn't break the pinata. The cumulative hits broke the pinata. But most people won't stick around long enough for whatever the proverbial candy is, the relationship, the body, the money, the business. As they're making these compound pounds, you're making progress. It's just invisible over time. So there's a pinata analogy in our lives. We think it's going to happen as quickly, and it's so big. Just keep taking swings. Yeah. I know that sounds sort of like rah-rah. It's not. You're making progress invisibly when you're taking these steps. And you know as well as I do, the truth is, when my dad got sober, I wrote one more because my dad tried one more time to get sober. When my dad got sober, I said, Daddy, are you going to stay sober the rest of your life? He goes, I don't know. I'm going to stay sober for one more day. And so if you're thinking about quitting whatever you're doing, just don't quit for one more day. You don't have to make a lifetime commitment to something, right? You have to just not do it for one more day.
No, I love that. That's gems right there. My son wants to get buff. He's 11. He wants to be a professional football player. I take him to the gym sometimes, or he works out and he's like, Dad, my body's not changing. I told him, it's kind of like what you said. It's like, it's the compounding and hitting that pinata. I'm like, son, working out, it's like watching paint dry or your hair grow. You're not going to see instant results. It's over time. It's that 1% little bit more, or one more, that keeps adding up. And, you know, it you put in the work. The Tom Brady show was amazing because he talks about the work, and he talks about his failures, and he talks about his insecurity early on in his career. And then he talks about his wins and how he's able to manage that. And I think the real difference between, you know, people like yourself who are in personal development and people who, you know, that understand and have been there, have got through that, and then the people that have these egos that think they know it all and they just struggle for a long time. Like, I know I've been there. I remember running my first business, and I've done it 3 times, and I thought I knew everything. And one of the best advice I give myself is, I didn't know anything. It'd be better to hire or find people smart around me. What do you think about that?
The older I get, I just said this yesterday to a good friend of mine. Where was I yesterday? Oh, I was speaking in Las Vegas. And a buddy's backstage, he's like, man, your wisdom, this book. And I'm like, bro, let me tell you something, man. The older I get, the more I realize how little that I know. The reason I wrote the book is I put in what I actually do know. But the truth is, I don't know that much. And what's awesome is that to have the ability to step into a space in the unknown and be willing to navigate it. Be willing to step into a space you don't feel prepared for. That's the tough thing in life. And when you do that, you're now in that group of successful people, that you don't have this threshold where I have to know everything in order to leap. Too many people have this high threshold of what they have to know or believe or think or their connection before they'll step into a space. In my case, I have built the muscle of stepping into spaces that I am ill-prepared for. And then I know I'll navigate it. I'll be resilient. I'll meet the right people. I'll have the right relationships. There's a part of your brain called the reticular activating system. I talk about it extensively. I call it your matrix in the book. And here's the truth. When something becomes absolutely massively important to your RAS, is in the prefrontal cortex, it filters into your awareness things that were always there that you're oblivious to. I just bought a Tesla because I like what Musk is doing, right? I didn't want a Tesla. You know what? I see freaking Teslas everywhere I go now. Three lanes over, other side of the freeway. They were always there, but I didn't see them because they weren't in my RAS. Now they're there. When you step into the unknown space and winning there becomes obsessive to you, you start seeing, hearing, and feeling things that were always in that space of yours that are now become your Teslas. Your goals, your ambitions, your visions have to become the Teslas of your life. And it's not an easy thing to learn how to do, but I'll have a whole chapter in the book. I'll show you exactly what to do, the repeated visualizations on how to actually change your matrix.
No, I love that. And it's like a racehorse having blinders on, you know, get stuck in just the lane. It's good in some situations. It's bad in others to not stick your toe in something and figure something out that might be, you might be great at, you know, taking a chance. And I love how you mentioned earlier how every decision you make, like the one more meeting, everything changes. I think of so many times in my business or my personal life, had I not done that, I wouldn't have met my wife. Had I not done that, I wouldn't have four. Like, it's like just crazy when you think about one simple decision changes everything.
It's almost too scary to talk about sometimes, isn't it? Once you're on the other side, be like, man, if I didn't make that one move or I didn't have that one meeting. But the truth is that when you're in the right mindset and you have the right tools and the right skills, it seems more random than it really is. The truth is that you bring these things into your life. And when you're struggling and you can't quite find your groove and you're like, man, I'm never going to, that's the issue. The issue is you're not seeing those meetings. You're not meeting that relationship. You overlook this potential conversation you should have had, this thought. You listen to the podcast and miss the most important thing that applies to you. And so it is an actual scary thing. The difference between winning and losing is so small, it's almost too scary to talk about unless you know what the things are you have to do to win. And I think one other thing I've just found out recently, you know, a lot of people don't want to do what it takes to win. They'd rather have fun. They would rather have fun. And I was telling my son the other day, I said, Max, he's a golfer. He's a college golfer. I said, Max, remember what Dad's telling you right here. Winning is more fun than fun is fun. And it's a fact, man. You win, that is more fun than any empty fun you think you're going to have. Do the things other people aren't willing to do, man. And when you win, that's 1,000 times more fun than at the club or watching Netflix or laying around eating Cheetos. Winning's more fun than fun is fun.
That's why sports is so important. That's why they have championships. That's why people are drawn to that. I coach pay to play football, which I can't stand. So hopefully the parents don't listen to this, but you know, my son plays some travel ball and some rec ball and he's pretty good. And I didn't want to coach, but I kind of got pushed to it. So I was coaching a game yesterday and I had my son and this other kid who are the two best players on the team by far, which is sad because they're both in fifth grade. The rest are fourth graders and we're getting beat up a little bit. And one of the parents is like freaking out and yelling and like, you need to sub the kids out more. And I'm subbing three kids for three every time. So after the game, I walk up to her and I said, hey, listen, I'd appreciate if you have any problems with me coaching, you address me after the game. Don't be yelling at me during the game. Appreciate that. Well, your kids played that. And I said, well, look, I was trying to get us to compete. This is all about fun. I said, then why do they have a playoffs? Why is there a playoffs? If it's about fun, why do we have playoffs? Because those other kids, they look like they want to win. And the parents, a couple of the parents are a little upset. But this is the world. That's what's happened now in this world is everybody just wants to have fun.
There's a really insidious thing. I want everyone to hear this. You'll probably remember this most from this show if you're a parent or you're going to be one. Listen to me. There's lots of forms of child neglect. I came from an alcoholic family. There could be abuse. There could be divorce. One of the most insidious forms of child neglect is a parent who's not pursuing their own dreams and potential. And then you start projecting those limiting thoughts and beliefs onto your children unknowingly. Slowly but surely it leaks out of you and you start shrinking what life is, what their potential is, and you install these belief systems in your kids because most things your kids will get from you are caught, not taught. They catch it. And if they catch the fact, if you're raising a child right now and you know in your heart, I'm not pursuing my vision, I'm not pursuing my potential, I'm not all over my dream, you're neglecting your children when you do that.
That's deep. It's good though. And it's deep and it's true. So how many kids do you have?
1-year-old and an 18-year-old. So I think I'm almost done.
Are you a grandpa yet? Grandpa, so I am a grandpa of two kids, two grandkids. So I have four wonderful kids with my wife. We've been together forever. you know, from high school. And I've got a 23-year-old daughter, an 18-year-old daughter, 15-year-old daughter, and an 11-year-old son, and then two grandkids. Four kids, right? I got a great wife, though. She's like next level. Like she holds it down for sure. But, you know, I think it's important. I saw you on a show. It might have been, what's his name in Vegas? I like him too. Yes, I like him. He's a little arrogant, but I dig it. I love his attitude. I was at his place and he was showing me a show with you guys, and you were talking about how important it is in your marriage and relationships to keep dating. I'd like you to share that again, because you were talking about how that's so important, how people stay connected because they try.
Well, the truth is, I met my wife in elementary school. We've been dating since high school, like you. And I think I have a good marriage. And one of the reasons is we're constantly dating. I'm in a relationship. This is what my wife gets with me, because I am growing and changing. She's in a relationship with the same person, but it's a different person almost every year. Because when I'm growing and changing, there's interesting things. So is she. But I'm just a big believer that you got to keep it spicy. That, you know, listen, here's why I think most divorces happen. I'm just going to be candid. You can have love and you can have trust. And if you don't have that, you have no relationship. And communication. There's another thing on there, man. You got to be attracted to each other. You have to have intimacy, some type of intimacy, holding hands, hugging, kissing, or the good stuff. And if you don't keep that going, eventually you're just married to your friend. And I got a lot of friends. I don't want to lay down next to them every single night. Trust me. Actually, none of my dude friends. So I don't want to lay down with any of these guys every single night. So we're both cognizant of trying to keep intimacy. I'll tell you where I learned it last thing. When I was dating my wife, her parents had this very unique marriage. But when I'd go pick her up on like a Saturday night at 6 o'clock, from her front door, you could see in her living room. And I would watch. I've watched this more than 100 times. I'd go to knock on the door and Howard and Patricia would be in the living room slow dancing. TV, this little living room. They weren't rich people, just slow dancing. And I thought, that's what a beautiful marriage. What intimacy. They're still dating. You know, they still show each other affection. It's very easy when you live with someone a long time and you see them at their worst and you've seen them get sick and you've seen them wake up in the morning and all this stuff, that you begin to lose that connection. And for me, that's something that we both talk about regularly and are both really conscious of, is dating all the time.
No, I love that. I try to do date night once a month. It used to be once a week, but it's hard. Yeah, I pick her up like, hey, we're going out on a date. Like, I'm not even coming into the house. Come outside. I'm going to honk the horn, like, type thing. Open the door.
These people have these perfect things on paper. We had date night every Thursday. I'm like, man, we never did that. Like, the truth is, kids, busy, sports, life. But we do it regularly, though.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as you're doing that, and I love that. That's great advice out there, because just like in business or just like following your dreams, people quit on a relationship sometimes too early. I mean, I've had lots of bumps in the road being with, you know, my wife so long and having kids when we were teenagers, and, you know, the odds against us, we've hit the ups and downs to where, you know, it's a roller coaster, but it's a fun roller coaster. I love what you said. As I'm changing and my frequency's changing and hers is, it makes it interesting. It's not the same.
And here's what most people do. I'll just be straight up with you. In everything in life, they make permanent decisions based on temporary conditions. And it's done all the time. I talk about this a lot in the book, because whatever pain you're going through right now, forget relationship, it could be business or whatever, it's temporary. One thing occurred to me when my dad died, other than our soul, everything's temporary, even our bodies. So whatever you're going through right now, survive the temporary. Because on the other side of temporary pain, Napoleon Hill says in Think and Grow Rich, you meet your other self. The only way you ever meet your other self is on the other side of temporary pain. And so if you're going to get pain in your life, whatever it is, you might as well get something from it. And that other self, by the way, leads to another life. I've met many other selves of me over my 51 years on the other side of temporary setbacks and pain. And so have you all. So realize what it is when you're getting pain, right? Or even in your relationship. On the other side of that, there's another relationship if you can survive it.
I love that. More gems. And look, the book, how many chapters are in the book? Can you go over a few of the chapters? Because I'm so enlightened to hear some of the things. You dropped about three or four. What are some other chapters we didn't bring up?
One more. I mean, I'm a cheesy. I've never sold anything in my life. My big product upsell in life is a book I make no money on, which is hilarious. But I wrote it. It's called The Ultimate Guide to Success and Happiness. I believe it's the best book ever written on the topic. Most personal development books or business books or leadership books, which this is, all of them, is the same book written over and over again with a few different words. And truth is, you don't think and get rich. You have to think and do things to get rich. And rich could be spiritually, physically, financially. So I cover everything from how to be a better parent, the business leader, athlete, entrepreneur, happiness, emotions. There's a whole chapter on emotions, on one more emotion. There's a chapter on equanimity, how to be calm under duress. There's two chapters on leadership. There's an entire chapter on how to manage time. And the 24-hour day is a complete outdated concept. And so I go through that. I go through your matrix. I go through self-confidence. I go through identity. I go through faith. I talk about something very personal with my dad passing away. So it's got about, I kitchen sinked it. If I have one criticism of the book, and I'll be really honest with you, it's a bit heavy. This is not a book where like you're like, oh, that chapter was, I mean, some chapters will resonate more than others, but it's heavy. Heavy content, heavy mental stuff, heavy on the brain. It's, I don't mean to sound down. I just, it's like, if you really want to learn, if you really want to grow, you will probably have never picked up a book with more teeth to it than this book.
That I love it. It's a book out yet?
June 1st. I assume we'll probably release this then. I don't know. So.
Yes. Yeah. We will have this out in a few weeks.
Release it June 1st. If we're editing, that'd be perfect. So
I can hold it right to that point. That works, and they can edit all that. We could do that absolutely.
Week, and you can get it anywhere books are sold. If you go to thepowerofonemore.com, there's some cool stuff there for you as well that you can engage with me on.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? We do a book club for a lot of our leaders in the company. We have about 2,100 employees, but we have give or take 100, 200 managers and leaders. So we're definitely going to have to check out the book. We're going to have to touch base after this to where we do a pre-order. We did it with David Nurse. We've done it with Meltzer and a few others.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm like doing to something get it. Pre-orders that a couple of your peers have done. And what I'm doing is I'm doing an event. This probably won't be in the show, but I'll just tell you. May 27th, I'm doing an event. It's me, Frisella, Eric Thomas, Mel Robbins, Rob Dyrdek, Dean Graziosi, Jim Quick, Alex Rodriguez. I mean, like a ton of people. And if you pre-order the book, you go virtually for free. If you order 100 books, you can go and bring, you can go in person. If you order 1,000 books, you can bring 20 people with you to the event.
Where's the event at?
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, I'm in North Carolina. I'm in Charlotte.
We should talk. You should talk with my team afterwards. We'll hook you up.
Yeah, we'll definitely do something because we always love to better, you know, they have to have things to better themselves. We bonus our leaders. Part of their bonus is obviously EBITDA and growth and KPIs, but it's about self-development, right? It's very important that they develop themselves as leaders because a lot of our growth in our company has been, you're a great sales guy. Let's make you a manager. Oh, well, you were a great sales guy, but I got to work on your manager skills. So, you know, it's so important that we're always developing our leaders. And, you know,
you're right there. You're crazy.
It's Raleigh. Absolutely. I'll go. It's two and a half hours away. So I
come to dinner with us. We're doing a big dinner with all those people.
Absolutely. We're going to have to touch base after this and share the contact. And it's so crazy that, you know, you know Edwin, because I've known him for almost 20 years now. We've both been in the alarm business.
He's coming to the event. He bought, I think, 2,000 books or something for Skyline, and he's coming to the event bringing like 20 guys.
Yeah, we'll definitely, we're going to get some books then and set it up with you guys. I don't know. I'll touch base with you after this. But let me ask you one last thing before we go. You're a big NFL fan?
Yeah, a lot of those guys are good friends of mine. I work with several.
Who's your team?
I'm a Patriots fan. I'm from Boston. I'm a real one. I'm not a.
I love the Patriots. I love the Patriots. I love Tom Brady more than the Patriots, but I love the Patriots.
I'm a Bucs fan right now.
You got it.
Brady and I are a member of the same golf club. And so we've been friends. We've been members of the same club for about a decade. So I've actually truthfully become a Bucs fan until Brady retires. Then I'll go back.
I love Tom Brady, but I'm a Lions fan. We have the number 2 pick. Yeah, it's tough. But we just did a deal. Now that we've branded our company as Pink Energy, we did a deal with Aiden Hutchinson. We already had a deal with Barry. But I'm hoping Aiden, and I hate to say this, Aiden, so I apologize. I hope he doesn't go 1, he goes 2 to Detroit. That's what I'm praying for.
That would be great. He didn't have a good bowl game, but you know, in that bowl game he played, I was not wowed with. But I hope he stays home, and I hope he gets to play there.
He dropped the ball against Georgia, dude. He didn't do as good as he thought. He's coming on the show too soon after he gets drafted.
Big games, brother. Let's go. He showed up at Ohio State. He showed up. That's fair.
Yeah. I went to that game. Took my son to that game, and we got to go hang out with Coach Jim Harbaugh, and we got to run out and touch the banner before the game. It was next level. My son was like in awe.
Never forget that.
Ever. And it's about memories. That's the other thing. Some people think you can buy all the stuff you want, but you can't. memories are what changes everybody's life. You said this about kids and everything. Like, you know, it's not what they're taught. It's what they catch. And it's the same thing with memories. Like, I have a problem. You know, I've splurged and, you know, I went from no money to making lots of money. But I've learned my lesson a little bit as I've grown up to, like, it's about the memories that I can keep. It's about the memories that I can share.
Investment in memories in your family forever. I totally agree with that. I'd rather do cool things and cool experiences than have cool stuff.
True. True. Well, Ed, this was fantastic. I will have everybody come check out the book, The Power of One More. Comes out June 1st, right, Ed?
June 1,
we appreciate you coming on the show to The True Underdog. Make sure you check out Ed Mylett. You can find him on Instagram, Facebook. Do you have a TikTok?
I got a TikTok floating around there somewhere. Yep.
There's a TikTok. All of the goodies. Check out my man, Ed. Make sure you get the book. Bam!